lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, episode number 157. The show with songwriters talking to other songwriters all about the craft of songwriting. Brand new songwriters, established professionals, anything in between. Together we will share tips and we'll share techniques, and the idea is that hopefully by the end of the show we'll share all these little things we've learned and we'll all become a little bit better at writing songs.
How many tonight, Phil?
Well,
how many
better
things will they learn? Because it was, I think it was 5 2 weeks ago.
Well, I think we're going to do three, because this is actually, it's going to be an interesting show, I think.
Okay. Three new things you'll learn tonight.
I think so, okay. Because you can always find us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on the live stream here at songtalk.ca/livestream if you can't get to a radio. Tonight, I'll be your host. My name is Phil Emery, and tonight, joining me is the very dedicated members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, Mr.
Neil Modi.
Neil Modi.
See, you forgot his name. It happens. It's okay. I forget his name.
Going
all the
off
time.
Script here.
Come on. Off script. And of course, what? Bruce Harrett.
Oh, he remembered my name.
Sure.
Hi.
He gets an introduction. I don't. What is
I'm
that?
Bruce. I'm here.
You got a beard. It's all freaking me out.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Bravely managing the social media onslaught, as always, is Vanessa Vierland. Thank you, Vanessa.
Hey, yay. Vanessa. Hey.
And of course, running the show as always is Eitan Ryan.
You might as well just start all over again.
During the show, please join in the conversation on Twitter by sending in your comments and questions to at Song Talk Radio on the Twitter sphere, and we'll share them with you in the audience real time. Or you can send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and that'll do much of the same thing. And please stop by the website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on the show, just like our guest. And tonight our guest is Lewis Moon.
Hey guys.
Yes.
And, thanks for having me here. It's awesome.
Oh, it's great.
Cool. You're welcome.
Now this is a really cool show, because this is a sort of a style we don't get much in. We have people just with guitars and you know, maybe a piano player, but we're actually doing kind of ambient stuff.
Right.
So how did you get into writing ambient music?
Well, how I started with music is I started making beats 2-3 years ago, because I got into hip hop and modern R&B. So I practiced making beats. I always had in mind of making actual songs, but never got to them until recently. And I didn't mean it to make it ambient, but they just turned out to be very moody and
yeah. Now, so can you just tell people about, you're saying you're making beats?
Right.
Can you sort of go into a bit more depth of that?
What does that mean?
Basically, instrumental I'm making. I usually start with the drums to get the rhythm going and set a tempo.
And real drums or sample drums?
I use this pad machine that... That mimics fake drum sounds.
Oh, it makes drum sounds, but they're actual pads that you hit with a stick.
No, with my fingers.
With your fingers. Okay. Right. What's that called, Neil? You know this drumming business, right?
Yeah, they're just pads.
They're called pads. Drumming pads.
Yeah, which ones do you use?
You can play notes with
what
them.
Brand? What
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. It's a German brand. It's like spelled similar to machine.
Oh, machine, yeah.
Well, it is machine. It's the native instruments.
I heard some people say it like machina or something.
Machina. German maybe.
It's like it's got a grid of squares. And
right.
But I guess you're actually playing the beats in real time. You're tapping out beats in real time. Or are you...
Slowly.
Oh, so are you actually using a step sequencing type of thing?
Right.
So step sequencing, for those people who don't know, it's not real time. You're entering the notes one by one. So you've got four bars, and each, you know, you've got basically a whole row of 16th notes.
Right.
And I want a kick drum here, and then I want a snare drum, and then I want a kick drum again.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you just
build
it up. It's
very tedious, isn't it?
Well, when you get used to it, it's not that tedious. You just sort of pop them in and then let the loop run.
Okay.
And then it plays back.
But it plays back in tempo.
It plays back in tempo. You're not entering it in tempo.
You can change the tempo.
And you can change the tempo, of course. Right.
Right. Well, and it's interesting. There's a lot of people who actually make a really good living, and all they do is just do beats for the big stars.
Really? Right.
And they sell these beats to the producers, and the producers take those and they turn them into huge club hits. And there's people who only do beats.
Right.
It's really interesting.
You can't beat it.
Yeah. Now, here's a question, though. When we're talking about beats, can that also include like bass grooves and stuff like that? Or is it strictly,
percussion? Do you add a bass groove then on top of the beat?
Like when you say beat, is it strictly drums, or is there also like a melodic element?
Basically like a hip-hop song without the rapper, I consider that just a beat.
So it is a chord progression, it is a bass line.
And sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds and things like that.
Okay.
So there is tonal stuff there, it's not just percussion.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Right, so now when you were sort of learning how to do this, what was that like? Because, I mean, you were listening to a lot of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stuff were you listening to hip-hop-wise?
Interestingly enough, I started listening... The songs that got me into music and started made me think about doing music more seriously was Korean songs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was in Canada, but like these underground Korean artists were coming up, and they were hitting the mainstream a little bit in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked them out, and I loved their songs, and I thought to myself, oh, maybe I could do that, and I started researching.
We should tell the listeners you were born and raised in Seoul, South Korea.
Yep.
Right, and you came to Canada when you were, what,
12? Grade 6.
Oh, okay, yeah, so around 9 years old.
What was it about the Korean hip-hop stuff that they weren't doing? Were they doing something differently over there than they were doing over here?
They were really into funky hip-hop, funky fusion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you feel more affinity because they were Korean, like because reminded you back home or something?
I wouldn't say that, but I would say I got to know of them because I am Korean and I happened to look into that stuff.
So you corresponded with them, you mean? You sent them emails?
No.
Oh, you just learned about them?
On YouTube and everything.
Yeah,
right.
Cool.
So so do you actually play the piano at all?
I learned how to play the piano since I was like 7. But I wouldn't say it's my main music drive.
So getting back to the beat generation thing, because this is the basis for all the music that you're doing now, right?
Right.
So that sort of stuff with all the melodic elements, are you playing that on the keyboard on the piano, or are you?
Well, there's two types of beats you can make. One is heavily based on samples. Like you could pick up a 70s old classic and you could chop that up and line it the way you want and make it ride with a drum beat. That's one way. And another way is making a completely original beat where you type in the drums, the piano, chords, and just whatever you need to do.
Right, okay.
Oh, okay.
Interesting stuff.
So some of yours is sampled and some of it is you create it yourself, a mix?
The ones you brought tonight, is there one of each or what are they?
They're both sampled. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now are you doing everything in Machine? Are you using like Cubase or a sequencing program as well? Or
What I do is I use Machine to make the beat and I send that to Logic.
Okay.
And I put my voice in Logic and do the mixing there.
Oh, okay.
And funny enough, the last touches I use Audacity.
Really?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, you know, Audacity is a free open source audio editor that you can download. It's for Windows, Mac, and Linux, actually. So
no
matter what you're using, you can actually use it. So what's your songwriting process like then?
Well, I usually start with the beat because that's what I naturally go to first. And if I like it enough and if I'm able to think of a melody in my head, I try to go with that and write lyrics with that melody and see how that works with the beat.
Right.
It always starts with drums.
Usually. Just drums, but like you could start with a sample or just a chord even.
Okay. Does it ever occur to you to start a song with an idea of what the emotion will be or what the thought will be?
Sometimes, but a lot of times it's just, oh, this sounds really cool. I really like the sound of this.
So you've got access to this library of various samples.
Well, I got YouTube.
And you could just
go to like 70s soul or whatever, 70s funk.
Okay.
And it's interesting because, you know, hip-hop has gone through many different styles over the years. And you know, at the very early, it was actually kind of a bit on the stiff side because they were using rhythm machines, and it got kind of a bit loosey, a bit more loose and a bit more funky. But it's gotten a bit kind of stiffer, you know, sort of the modern, you know, at least the big star stuff, it seems.
The 808s.
Let's hear a tune.
Yes, that's good. So the first, what's the first song we're going to be doing is?
It's called With You.
With You. Do you want to talk about it? And
well, with the lyrics, how it started was, well, it started with the beat again, but it's about a girl that I liked throughout high school, but I decided to give up on trying to like her because I didn't see any signs of anything happening. And that somehow made me sour and angry looking at her happy, but I'm like,
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about. Really.
All right, listeners, here's With You by Lewis Moon. Very cool.
And that was With You by
Louis Moon.
Louis Moon.
Yeah.
Song Doc Radio.
There's a late night radio song for sure. Lying in bed in the dark, listen to your headphones, and you're going.
That's what I usually go for.
Yeah. Painful. Right, I loved the guitar lick in that because it came so late. Like there's, you know, there was this big space that went kung.
Right.
That guitar was chunky and it struck my heart because it was like, and then there's this heartbeat sort of thing going in the background. Mm-hmm. You really captured that kind of sad, melancholy, and you're saying, I don't want to see you. I hope you don't turn up. Is that it? Don't.
I'm telling her to not be happy because that's making me sad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? But yeah, it's real.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I love this song. Mainly because, you know, we don't get a lot of this kind of stuff on the show, and I want to get more of it because I listen to a lot of this kind of music.
Right.
There's bits that are, you know, there's so much atmosphere in the song. So you have all these bits of audio which are kind of like not in key, but it's just this kind of like little darkness. And I think it's like maybe a slow down sort of ooh or something.
Mm-hmm.
What's really cool is you actually have some kind of classic hook things, like on the at the ends of your line, like there will be tears, and then you have like sort of a little response going, there will be tears, you know. And it's so even though it's kind of like a bit unusual and moody, you're still actually doing this sort of pop song, sort of, you know, the background singers, you know.
Yeah, you got that.
And it's I like the way you handled the lyrics was so nice because it was very relaxed. I mean, like doing this kind of stuff is actually very, very difficult because like it sounds relaxed and there's one line, couldn't play it cool. Like you had this little sort of hesitant before cool. And it was just the way you sort of like threw off these lines that kind of worked so well within the track. What'd you think, Neil?
Yeah, certainly really, 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 really atmospheric, and in terms of capturing a mood, I mean, certainly it does that, right? And I love the little. I actually really like the way you layered the samples in there because you got that. Mm-hmm. It sounded like a bit of an audience clapping or something in the very beginning, like almost an audience hush.
Yeah,
and then that little guitar lick comes in, and that's kind of the beat hook. As it were, right?
That's Stevie Wonder, right?
That's a Stevie Wonder thing.
Right.
No, that's Stevie Wonder.
It is from a Stevie Wonder song.
Yeah.
It's him with a vocoder.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, it sounded like it was the electric guitar.
In the beginning? Oh, in the you're talking about the guitar.
Yeah,
that's a guitar.
That's a guitar, yeah.
Yeah.
But the top of the song was a sample from Stevie Wonder's live concert, is that
right.
What you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's your voice through the whole song.
Right.
Okay.
Your
phrasing was great. It's very hesitant, right?
Yeah.
Because the person's feeling like you're very, very hurt, obviously, and you've got this sort of like... what it does is it keeps you on the edge of your seat kind of as a listener. When is it going to come? And that's what I mean by that little guitar thing that happened. Mm-hmm. It came quite late. You're waiting for it. There it comes. Yeah. Always a bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I like the fact that you just didn't take samples and, you know, kind of throw them in. You actually really sort of worked with them and made them into something new.
Right.
And it just had so much energy actually to it. You know,
And just the way you delivered the lyric is really quite fascinating because it's like, it is a melody, but it's not, you know, sung out it's kind of half talking, half singing you know, and even in terms of like, even in the chorus part where you start with a pattern, please don't turn up, baby, don't turn up, baby, don't turn up, which by the way, sounds like turnip. But in context, obviously,
did
it's
you
turn
mean
up, right?
Don't turn but, up, like in the vernacular, like don't show up?
Don't show up.
Or does it mean don't get happy?
Don't get happy.
Okay, so you should think about a rewrite on the lyric. Because if I was going to collaborate with you on a rewrite, it would be baby, don't smile, or baby, don't, you know, something, but turn up in English actually means to show up.
Yeah, but I guess it works both ways too.
Yeah, well, you don't want to see her happy.
Yeah,
you don't want to see her at all.
Yeah, it could
be interpreted.
But anyway, we was talking about the melody, and then in the middle of the chorus, I talk in colors, you talk in follows my lady, turn up, and it's like you completely break the pattern, even though the bass beat is repetitious and it's got the pattern. When you start throwing, you know, the lyric melody this way
the
way,
yeah.
you know, and then start disrupting that that repetition and that flow. That's what makes it kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting doing this kind of stuff because, you know, because normally very often in a song there'll be kind of a bridge or a beat, like a real, in this point it would be a C part where you kind of go into a different melody or maybe a different key or something. And it's it is a bit more difficult to do in this kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever explored using bridges or kind of?
I have, yeah. For this, I think I tried to make a bridge, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
So I just stuck with what I had.
So when you make a bridge, or what do you mean by you make a bridge?
Well, because the song is so based on that one loop of a sample, to make a bridge, I usually try to find an instrument, a MIDI instrument that sounds similar to the sample and create new chords and new chord progressions.
That's interesting. Yeah, because that's a lot of the problem, I think, is if you find a sample you really like and then you want to do another section, you can't. It's hard to find another sample.
Yeah, because you can't make that guitar play what you want to.
Right.
Yeah, unless you start screwing around with the pitch.
Well, then you start. Then you have to think about doing a contrast thing, so that you need that. It is kind of difficult because
because the danger is you end up with something that sounds completely radically different.
But the approach
you just mentioned, try and find something in your software synthesizers, basically, that sounds similar, mm-hmm. then you can use that.
Now, I'm interested because I assume your first language was Korean?
Korean, right.
So these are actually really good lyrics for someone this is not your first language. So
But you've been in school since grade 6 in Canada, right?
Mm, and I learned English in Korea, too.
So, you can't give him too much credit for that because he did go to school from grade 6 till university in Regina, right?
Yeah.
And then Koreans learn English in Korea, right? It's an important second language, right?
Yeah. But still.
Still, his lyrics are good, regardless.
Now, have you explored writing lyrics in Korean?
No.
No.
Yeah.
It's never occurred to you?
In the beginning, I tried writing in both, but I just couldn't really do it. English was smoother for me.
Is English your stronger language than your Korean?
Well, I used to say my Korean, I used to think in Korean, but now I don't know anymore.
Yeah. We've actually found that with a number of guests that are bilingual.
Yeah, the Spanish dude.
Well, yeah, but
he wanted to write in English because he found English was more expressive.
That's just it. I mean, whatever. I mean, even if you're bilingual, usually there's one language that's stronger in terms of poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like you can be poetic. You can maybe be able to speak the other language you can maybe be able to speak Korean with your grandparents and all that sort of stuff. But doesn't mean you can write something lyrical.
I think there was this shift. In that, because I think when I first came to Canada, Korean was the stronger language for me.
Mm-hmm.
But now, to do art and stuff, I think English is what comes way more naturally to me.
Right.
Well, you remember Daniel Caceres. He was Spanish, right? And Spanish is a very poetical, romantic language. There's great Spanish poets, right? However, for him, what he was saying was that English as his second language put him in a different, completely different headspace when he was writing music and a song, because he had to force himself to create the words with a little more effort, right?
Oh,
it's a bit like we talk about changing from the keyboard to the guitar, and your guitar is, you're not as good on guitar, but now you suddenly are in a different headspace that's exciting and maybe opens up your creative mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
And I think you're probably less likely to fall into cliches as well.
True. Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to sort of think about what you know, the image is. Whereas I think for native speakers, you just can sort of throw these things together.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take you to do the track?
I think I usually take a longer time than other hip-hop artists or R&B artists or producers in general, hip-hop producers. I make a beat and I leave it for a while and I come back to it, and if I like it and I start working a little more with it. But sometimes it takes, like the song that we'll play next, it took me way less of a time than with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine the more you do it too, the faster you get.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the beat creation pretty quick, and then coming up with the lyric and the melody and stuff like that? Is that what takes the time?
For me, the longest time consumer is mixing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I can see that actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, mixing can be a bit of a challenge.
Well, especially for stuff like this, because it's really intensely layered and a lot of sounds going on and everything, right?
Yeah, and it was actually quite well mixed, because you could actually hear everything.
I personally, I would have liked the voice a little more present if I was going to remix it with you. Like, it was nice, but I found that I was having to really listen hard to hear the vocal, and it's mixed well sonically because it's cutting through,
like, right?
Just where your voice was, but I would just put a little bit up because it was really, the voice was really intriguing. Like the background was mysterious and kind of mesmerizing, like a wash, and then this guy's just going, not quite a happy ending, you know. It's like, ooh, it's kind of dancing on top, right?
That's an interesting, question. Because I think, part of the style, though, is that it's just kind of, because it's almost it's hypnotic, like the fact that you're not actually hearing, it's not mixed like a pop song where,
you've got the lyrics.
Yeah, I think it's partly the genre. The vocal isn't even necessarily back. It's just that it's not forward. But the point is that nothing is forward. The vocal is just another instrument in the mix.
I think that's
intentional.
That's the current trend, too, in like these ambient songs. Artists really mix their vocals down. You can barely hear what they're talking about a lot of times.
Because very often when you're listening to it, if the vocals are too loud, it actually kind of pulls you out of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know much
about this music.
And what I noticed is, like, while I was mixing, if I mix my vocals too loud, it kind of sounds like I'm just singing at a karaoke bar or something.
That's true.
That's always,
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely a style thing. We actually got a couple of tweets in. We got one in from Sharon. As always, interesting to hear people talk about the music they make. Thanks. Thank you for that,
Sharon.
Mm-hmm. And one from Heather. There's so much gorgeous space in the track. Really builds the tension.
Oh, thanks.
Nice. Come to think of it, this song is like almost all tension. There's no release. There's no release in this.
There's no sleep.
That's how I felt when I wrote it.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, in terms of capturing that feeling,
it is.
Sure.
You know, you when I talked about the fact you start with an emotion,
right?
You actually recreated an emotion of longing, frustration, anger, maybe jealousy of the guy that she was going out with or might have,
right?
And then just kind of feeling that. No happy ending, like you said. It's not quite a happy ending because it's still in your mind, right?
And to add to the being in a certain mood when you're writing lyrics, for second verse, I didn't write the second verse for the longest time, but I wrote that after we became a thing. We're still dating, actually.
Oh, really?
Wait a minute. Wait.
Hold it. So it is a happy ending.
I thought this whole thing was on the
right,
the,
yeah.
So it's a happy ending?
It is, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Is she here in Toronto?
She's in Regina.
Oh, so it's a long-distance relationship.
It is,
Okay.
Well, at least it's a long-distance.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the second verse is a little more bittersweet than sour compared to the first verse, I would say.
Well, that's nice. Does she know this song's about her?
Yeah.
Oh. Does she like it?
Part?
Does she like it?
Yeah. Well, she says she likes
it.
I love the line. She said, "You might come in handy." Right. Is that kind of like a put down? Maybe if I need a boy.
I'll use you.
If I need, but really, you don't measure up, really. Mm.
That's not her, though. I wasn't thinking about her.
Okay. So it's partly fictitious then.
Partly, yeah.
Yeah.
But cool. I think Neil's got something to tell us.
For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streamed on songtalk.ca/livestream. Tonight, our guest is Louis Moon. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from you, so tweet us in your thoughts at Song Talk Radio or via email at feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts in real time, just like we did just a minute ago. And you'll find the links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on the show at our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And in the coming weeks on Song Talk Radio, we have February 7th, David St. Bernard. Young, talented.
Great. I just saw him last Thursday.
There you go.
At an open mic. I didn't just see him. I heard him play. He's great.
Yeah. He's been a regular at our meetup.
Oh, yeah.
And February 14th, Valentine's Day. It's going to be the family only. A little bit of a love-in because we're going to be doing love songs that we all love to love.
Love to love your baby.
Love to love the songs of loving.
So we're
we're each going to bring two in. And Vanessa's going to bring one, I hope, one or two. And we're just...
Yeah.
And we're just going to play them, and then they're all very different.
Say why they're awesome, yeah.
They're very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup. That's on Wednesday, February the 15th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. That's around Spadina and Bloor. It's free to join up on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all those juicy details. Back to you, Phil.
Well, thanks very much.
Lewis has been there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, that's where we found Lewis.
Yeah, I actually presented my first song I was seriously working on in that meetup.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When was that? A year ago?
October.
October. Just in October. Okay.
Yeah.
I have something to report that happened over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
It's musical. So one of the guests on the show's name is Paul Voss. He was from the Netherlands originally and really good guitar player and songwriter. So we got together and played some music for the second time. And we tried something new for him, but not new for me. He had a guitar riff. He had an A and a B section, right? And so he just started playing them, and I started listening. And I improvised lyrics on an idea that one of us had. So we just threw an idea. So I had this idea. I threw it at the meetup member about I Hope to Die on Markham Street.
Mm. Oh, yeah,
it was a headline. One of the people being ousted from Mirvish Village because of the redevelopment was this guy.
Right.
And the quote was, I had hoped to die on Markham Street. So I thought, that's a good song title. So anyway, we recorded both tunes, and they turned out really well.
Nice.
Because I was just free to riff on creating lyrics out of my head, which I love to do, like improv style. And I didn't have to worry about the guitar because he was handling that. So I felt it was really fun, first of all,
because
I was free of having to think.
Yeah.
And I just felt. And then these tunes came out. It was really
cool.
Well, I think it's really good to, you know, collaborate with people who do stuff that you don't normally do.
Right.
You know, because, and I think a lot of people, and I think that's a curse of the home computer, because we all want to sort of write and play all our own instruments.
And do everything.
But
you
I've
know,
never
like,
done that.
Yeah, but I mean, people are not, you know, like, you may not be a great bass player, and there's people who are really good bass players, and that's a skill set that they develop over years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's actually, for lots of reasons, it's going to be an article I'm going to write for our newsletter, is that it's good to actually bring other people in it just because they get the energy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's people who know just because you can do something on your own doesn't mean you should. You know?
Right. Yeah. And we've had cases of cross-Atlantic collaborations. Remember when there was that show where somebody said
Janice did that.
Yeah, Janice Ho was doing that. She was working with someone in Ireland or Germany.
Yeah, that was on that website.
Germany.
Yeah, it was from the Muses Muse.
Muses Muse.
Yeah, yeah.
So she'd send the tracks over there, and also the guitar player was sent tracks to Ireland, and the guy put a string section on
That's right.
Yeah, that was Gary Woods.
Yeah, Gary Woods.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's but I think there's nothing better, really, if you can, to be in a room with other musicians, like the real thing, right? It's very interesting what can happen.
And, it's not just a thing for computer-based home producers. It's for people that are by themselves with a guitar and their own voice, and they've been doing that for years. And just like you were saying, Bruce, you know, sometimes that puts you in a little box that
you can kind of hit a plateau in your quality of your writing. Like it can be more same, right?
Yeah.
And so doing this and it was fun. He had a little two mics and speakers. He had a little setup. So he said, I said, Paul, why do we have mic setups and everything and monitors? Oh, well, we're going to perform together, right? And I went, okay. So he wanted to practice, because I perform quite a bit, and he almost never has.
Mm.
He wanted to practice what would it be like in a room with a microphone to make sure you're staying on mic, right? And we may be the next big thing.
Bruce
and Paul.
How about you, Lewis? Have you done any collaborations with anybody?
No, I haven't. That's one of the reasons why I sing on my tracks, too. Because like we talked about before, some people just make beats and they're just producers. And that's what I kind of had in mind. But I wanted to make songs and I couldn't find any rappers. So I was like, oh, maybe I could sing. And maybe I could write.
You did a good job.
Yeah, actually, no, it's quite impressive. I know it was auto-tuned, but
but there is something about, you know, if you've written the lyrics, then delivering them yourself in whatever means you have, then there's an authenticity to that literally no one else could possibly deliver.
Right. Mm-hmm. Becomes your baby.
It becomes your baby, exactly.
Yeah, and it's weird when you write music because I've done a couple of musicals, and you write a song and you have it in your mind, and then someone else is singing it, and you're going, no, that's not how it goes.
Yeah.
But I mean, they have to find their own truth to it.
Yeah, and you have, as a songwriter, you have to allow them to do that as well.
And it's so weird when you start collaborating with people, because they're going to do stuff that you don't normally do.
Yeah.
So it's going to sound kind of wrong.
Right.
So at first, I think people, when they start collaborating, they go, like, they'll try to control and they'll go, no, that's not right. But
you
have to get used to that sort of thing. Well, it doesn't really feel quite.
You really got to let go of it turning out in a specific way. It's almost kind of Buddhist or Zen, like the outcome is not relevant in the moment. In the moment is just what you're doing, right? And because you're creating, and hopefully you're creating in a space of comfort with each other eventually, then whatever happens is going to be quite something and possibly surprising when you look back. Or listen back, right?
Yeah, I know. Right. I've had the experience where, you know, someone will change the song and you think it's terrible, but then you come back like 2 days later and you go, wow, it's so much better than mine was, but it takes a while, a bit of distance. You know?
And you got to have some humility.
Yes.
I mean, the ego and fixed opinions and, you know, being like, no, this is mine, is not going to work when you collaborate. You really have to give it up.
You have to give it up
and be open to magic happening, because it does. Yeah.
So let's hear the next song. And, of course, don't forget, you can go to songtalk.ca and find the lyrics to these songs.
You did that? Phil put them up there. So as you're watching, as you're listening to the show, you can actually be reading the lyrics on the computer screen.
Yes.
And, of course, during the podcast,
they'll be on the show page as well.
Yes, on the show page as well. So the next song is an interesting title. It's called Morrissey Love.
Morrissey Love.
So can
is
you...
Is that the Morrissey?
The Morrissey,
Like Smith's Morrissey?
Yeah.
All right. So do you want to talk about how you wrote this?
This one, I started with the beat again, but I made this beat for a friend of mine. I thought he would use it for his song, because he's a rapper.
Okay.
But he didn't use it, so I was like, this is a good beat. I mean, I think I'll just take it and make a song with that. And for lyrics, the reason why it's called Morrissey Love is the song Asleep by the Smiths.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote Morrissey Love as a response to that song.
Okay.
So
that's why it's seeing me to see. I don't want to wake up on my own anymore.
Yeah. Did you tell them?
Pardon?
Did you tell the Smiths that you did that? You should send it to them.
And tweet it to them.
Wake up. Okay. We're going to hear Morrissey Love by Louis Moon.
Don't leave like this.
sorry, that's my only offer. Sorry, this ain't stable or firm. Just linger a little longer. It'll be worthwhile, I promise. At the end. Worthwhile, I promise. Got to be in the same sentence with you. I realize time's ticking. Please, you got to sing to me. Let me fall asleep, baby. You're so dear to me. Darling, please don't leave like this. Sing to me. Let me fall asleep, baby. You're so dear to me. Darling, please don't leave like this. Ah, ah.
Morrissey Love.
Morrissey Love by Lewis Moon on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. Wow, that's really a groovy, cool. Groovy piece. Notice Eitan was kind of grooving to it.
Yeah.
How could you not groove to that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so rhythmic.
Yeah, and just, again, lots of interesting depth and sounds. I mean, there was not...
Mm-hmm. The seagulls and everything.
Yeah. A little touch of Skrillex there with the natural sound. You know, Skrillex... puts in these weird sounds. They sound like somewhere between an elephant and a zebra. If you listen to Justin Bieber stuff or other stuff, he throws in their animal sounds. Like, was that actually seagulls? Was it birds?
No,
it sounds a bit like
it. It sounds kind of like it, but it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was
samples? Like
that's actually a famous sample. A lot of today's artists use that.
Where's the sample from?
What's it called?
I don't remember. It's from a...
something old.
Old. It's an oldie. Yeah. And it's a really famous.
But it's not birds. It's not meant to.
It's not birds. It's a guy, I think.
Yeah. You know what this actually kind of makes me think of? It's like you've got this grid, which is the beat, mm-hmm. right? Which mm-hmm. is just the very bass beat, and then you're taking paint and you're just like splashing random paint over it, because the melody is kind of, I mean, there is the chorus which repeats,
right,
but other than that, like, the melody's going here, it's going there, it's almost like a free verse, kind of lackadaisical, casual, I'm just gonna, you know, say what I gotta say, and wherever it falls, but it makes it really kind of groovy.
But it doesn't sound like you're singing to a different song.
It's like a
it's still cohesive.
It's like an organized chaos.
It's like order meets chaos. Right.
Yeah.
I like the way that you pause on things. Like, you do things like, I got prayers.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
what?
Like, that's completely random, right?
Random. Like what do you, I got, and you're going, what does he have? Prayers, you know? And you do that several times in the verse, especially, that the scansion, we call it, or the way where you put the words on the beat, is all over the place.
Yeah.
So it creates this cool tension because you don't know when the next lyric
is going to
land.
Is that really deliberate, or is that just a stylistic thing that
just
you
naturally
just comes naturally
to me,
you
to
do it that way?
Yeah.
Because you're grooving to the beat as you record it, right? You're playing it back in your head.
Yeah.
And you're going, boom. So you pop that. It's more like jazz, really, where you leave it's like a syncopation, or you never know what's
going. It's like a scat with words.
Yeah, it's a bit of a scat thing, because, you know, they say in jazz, it's not what you play, it's what you don't play.
Right.
And in this, it's a lot of the space in the song is what's really fascinating and keeps it intriguing.
That's another thing. Actually, I dropped my mixtape today, but the whole theme with that mixtape was minimalism.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really into that minimalistic sound. And like
now, this seems pretty minimalist.
Yeah.
So it's kind of more.
Is it more minimalist? Like, when you say mixtape, is it your own stuff, or is this like a mixtape of other
No, like my own.
What do you mean you've dropped it? It's on the internet.
I released it today.
Released it.
Put it on the web.
Oh. That's what they say at a release. They drop it.
Oh, I dropped.
Yeah.
then I dropped some things. I've dropped things then.
Yeah.
I'm on iTunes. Did I drop that?
You've dropped
it. Yeah, you dropped it.
You don't have to pick it up though. Other people might.
Other people might pick it up.
Oh, well, I hope they do.
That's why they call it the Dropbox.
Oh, okay.
Ah, yeah. Right.
Well, that was really cool because what you're doing. I like Neil. I like that metaphor because it's painterly. Like there's a base, like a canvas, and then there's which is basically modern art. You know, the Rothko and all that splatter paint in the 60s.
Jackson Pollock.
Jackson Pollock. Yeah. They were just like they had a canvas and they put some wash on it and then they just splatter here and there, but it wasn't. Random per se, it was thought. The color was thought through, right? And the same way you're thinking about your lyrics, and yet they seem to be what's the word?
Almost thrown away.
Disordered.
Yeah. Like there's no pattern. It's just a lack of pattern. There's still pattern at the kind of micro level.
Yeah.
Right. Did you ever think you're doing overdubs on your chorus, like putting a harmony on top or changing up?
No,
did you want them to be that repetitive?
And yeah.
Trance-like?
That goes back to the minimalism again.
You want a trance. You didn't want to build anywhere.
Yeah.
So this is like stay in a mood and stay there, and it's cool, and you just kind of you're chilling out, aren't you?
Yeah.
Or are you dancing? You might be dancing.
Well, I think you're grooving. I believe the technical term would be you're grooving.
Oh, that's very 60s.
Dropping the groove?
Dropping the groove. There's actually a really interesting website called Who Sampled It?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite sites.
It is so cool because you put in one of the songs that you love, and you can find out, who sampled it and what samples it contains.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you have to pay to sample?
Yes, you need to get,
called,
if you're going to release stuff.
It's called sample clearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is your stuff legal?
No.
No, you don't have to say. We're on the air. It's okay.
No,
but so the big hits, the big stars, they go and they get their agent to clear stuff for them.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and interestingly enough, I used to, many years ago, I was in a band called Surface Noise, and we actually kind of sampled things really blatantly and kind of recombined them. And so I actually learned a lot about sample and sample clearances. And back then it was kind of a big deal. Now it's, they're happy to clear samples because this is a great way for a label to get money from their old back catalog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's a band called, I believe, The Verve, and they had a song called... And they actually sampled...
that whole orchestra bit.
Yeah, the orchestral bit from the Rolling Stones. Now, they actually cleared the sample with the label. Right. However, they didn't get it cleared with the person who did the string arrangements of that original Stones song, and actually got sued and actually wind up getting no money from that song. And
that was a big hit song. Yeah.
And it's a great
song.
It,
what Stones song was? You can't always get what you want?
It was that string thing.
It was like
a sweet symphony.
Yeah, bittersweet symphony.
Bittersweet
symphony.
Yeah.
So do you think one day people will sample my songs?
Yes.
They could.
Yes. They could.
So they'll just find my song on YouTube or internet or something.
I could sample you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you? Oh, that'd be so wonderful. Would you drop it then?
Like, well, one thing actually we did is at the end of the CD
is
we actually we soloed certain songs from the release so that people could actually sample like the bass line or the guitar bit, because we wanted people to sample our stuff.
Right, yeah.
So
I've got a question. I've got a question for you, Lewis, and you guys can pipe in on this too. Because other songwriters that we get on this show, we're often talking about narrative and going through a story, going from A to B, and often that indicates musical changes. Now, both of these songs seem to be kind of they're very focused in terms of capturing one emotion, capturing one moment. Even is that kind of a thing? Is that a characteristic of ambient music? That because I mean, especially if you're talking about the minimalist thing, there's not a lot of change in the music. Does that also imply that narratively, story wise, it's very focused in on one little?
I would say so.
Emotion?
Yeah, for sure.
And are you deliberate about you would never write a song like this that actually has a beginning, middle, and end to a story where there's a character arc or there's some kind of a change or something like that.
I might, but probably not, no.
No.
Yeah.
Because I think you'd have to sort of change the music.
Right.
Because it's of, because it's a different kind of thing, whereas with folk music, it's actually about, it's actually about the story, and you know, it's like the someone with a guitar, and that's what that's what, like, you know, rock is built on, was those folk songs. Mm-hmm. Where this is kind of a very different sort of approach. It'd be like, mm-hmm. you know, just instrumental music. Very often there's not necessarily a progression in instrumental music, although mm-hmm.
true,
it can
yeah.
be.
It can be.
See, this would be it would be difficult for me to write a song that didn't go anywhere. Because
yeah,
I'm
it
so
is.
Patterned
it's very difficult.
To make it go somewhere, to make it build in story or structure or whatever. But that's a pop style, right? Because
yes.
we've noticed when we've had folk songs on, like when you listen to Bob Dylan's earlier stuff and Joan Baez, it's verse, 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 verse,
yeah.
verse, verse.
Yeah.
There might be a little refrain at the end of each verse, like our little hook.
Yeah.
Hard rain's going to fall. But there'll be another reverse. Hard rain's going to fall. And then another one. And it didn't bother anybody. I'm wondering, I'm just putting that out there, that as our society has got less patient and more desiring change and fast and speed, and our attention span has gotten shorter, I wonder if people have the patience to listen to a folk song that's seven verses. There's no melodic progression at all. None.
Well, I think, you know, as songwriters, very often, because where you made most of your money as a songwriter was in the pop field. So very often people would want to write for the pop media, which at the time was radio. And radio wanted to have songs which were about 3 minutes, because that's how they could get the most advertising in the hour.
And they wanted earworms.
Yeah. And they wanted earworms. Mm-hmm. So out of that became a very kind of formulaic first chorus bridge, first chorus end approach. And I think...
And built
to
a top.
And yeah, and built. Yeah, whereas, you know, doing the ambient electronic music, of which there's actually quite a big community now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People who are into it. That's, you know, those kind of rules are not quite like that. It's like, you know... Indian classical music, which, you know, can go on for like 20 minutes and and there is sort of a structure within it, but it's not like a pop song structure, you know? Mm-hmm.
So is it that, are we writing different styles of music for different audiences for different purposes?
I think it just comes down to taste. I mean, even like, you know, I'll listen to some ambient stuff every once in a while if I'm in the mood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know Phil does. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, what you're feeling. And the nice thing, too, is that there's, you know, all genres and all different varieties of things for a short attention span and longer attention spans.
Would you go to a concert, Lewis, and play and then overdub in concert? Is that what the artists do?
Like for songs like these?
Yours. Yeah, if you were going to do a concert.
They'll bring like a live band and play like their own version, the band version of the beat.
And oh, you wouldn't play this track and then play over it necessarily.
Like really underground people might, but like when you're a little more popular and famous, they bring in an actual band.
They bring in a real band.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they'll trigger samples that are unique to that song.
Right.
Some things you can't recreate that you created there.
You can't create that seagull sound.
Yeah.
I'm going to try.
Are you using any of the online communities to sort of share music and bounce ideas off of people?
Not necessarily bounce ideas off of people, but I use SoundCloud and Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and I think they're two very good sites for music sharing.
And how did you, when you came to the meetup, that was your first time at the meetup, was in back in November?
October,
I think,
How did you find that? Did you find it
online.
Valuable? Did you find it valuable?
Yeah, very, very. It was very, very supportive, and that's what got me to finish my mixtape.
We inspired you?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Yeah, well, that's what we like to do. We've had many collaborations come out of what's it called?
The meetup.
Right. Yeah. The meetup roundtable cafe thing once a month. We've had collaborations. We've had, do we have any love affairs yet?
I don't know.
A couple of babies.
Probably.
Maybe some babies.
Probably.
No, but we people get together and collaborate. One of the times I was there, I'll never forget this day. I don't know if you guys were there, but... most people had left, and I looked around the room, and there were like three people, and the light was beautiful. There were low lighting. Three people were over here, like leaning in with a guitar, talking and sharing. And over here were another four people. Over at the piano, somebody was banging something out. It was like a music school.
Oh,
right?
That's really
cool. An afternoon.
Yeah, it reminded me of high school.
Afternoon. It's like a high school music school or a college music school.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to create there. We want to create the collaborative aspect of things. And of course, learning, just like this radio show, you go to that for, it's 3 or 4 hours long. You learn a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting. I mean, with doing this kind of music, it can be hard to collaborate because people work with different digital audio workstations. So I might work with Cubase, someone might work with Logic, someone else might work with Pro Tools or something. So it's it can be a bit of a challenge to collaborate with people that way. Some people send stems out, which is just like maybe the drums mixed and the bass mixed, and you know, kind of share those together. But it can be a bit of a challenge with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, true.
I'll give you the URL for my tunes. Well, they're out there. They're on SoundCloud. Okay, there's some tunes in there you might want to sample.
I'll check it out.
If somebody wanted to get more of your music, how do they do that?
Well, you could go to my SoundCloud, just soundcloud.com/LewisMoon, LUISMOON. And for Bandcamp, it's lewismoon.bandcamp.com.
All right, well, we'll put those definitely in the show notes.
Yes.
Because that's all the time I think we have tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. And we'd like to thank our guest, Lewis Moon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Great stuff.
Definitely.
Keep writing.
And if you're doing ambient stuff out there, let us know because we want to get you on the show. Please send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. Also, subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes or Stitcher at songtalk.ca/iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And if you are in the Toronto area, please join us for our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup that we were just talking about on Wednesday, February 15th from 7 to 10 p.m. At the Transact Club at Spadina, Bloor area.
I'll be hosting.
So it's going to be fun. It's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. We would like to thank CJRU 1280 AM for putting up with all our shenanigans and hijinks and
shillelaghs.
Foolery. We'd like to thank Vanessa Vierland for manning the social media channels. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you.
And most of all, Eitan Rand. Ryan,
for he's Irish, for God's
sake. Board. And of course, we'd like to thank you, the home listener. If you were on Twitter, you can follow Neil at
Mondo Art.
You can follow Bruce at
Bruce Harrett.
You can follow Vanessa at
Sunny_Vanessa.
Sunny.
And of course, you can follow Itam at
Sunny_.
And do you have
Twitter?
Twitter.
I don't have a Twitter, but I have an Instagram.
Oh, Instagram, okay.
See, told you, Phil.
No.
So Instagram.com/LewisMoon.
LewisMoon.
All right.
L-O-I-U-S. L-O-U-I-S.
L-O-U-I-S.
And please stop by the website at songtalk.ca to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest on this very show. That's all for us tonight. We will see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Keep on writing.